Good morning, and a very warm welcome to our worship service here in St. Macken's this morning. A special welcome is extended to any friends or visitors who may be worshipping with us today. We hope you feel welcome and at home amongst our church family, and you find our worship to be meaningful and uplifting. Tea and coffee will be served in the hall after the service, and everyone is invited to go through, enjoy a cup of tea, and share in a short time of fellowship. The Men's Club concert on Saturday the 21st of March has now been cancelled. Anybody who has paid for the tickets will have their money refunded. The annual congregational meeting on Sunday the 29th March, this will take place immediately following morning worship. Everyone is invited to remain for a short time when the Treasurer, Bob Allen, will present the annual accounts for 2019. This is a great opportunity for everyone to hear about what happens to our offerings and where the money goes, as well as an update on our current financial position. The Guild wish to thank everyone who helped and everyone who supported the coffee morning and book sale yesterday. The great sum of £408 was made. So that's excellent. They also want to say that the AGM on Tuesday has been cancelled and there'll be no meeting at all. And the Friendship Circle has decided to cancel their meeting a week on Tuesday. And just make sure I haven't missed anything. Oh, the indoor bowls will take place tomorrow, Monday the 16th, at the usual time of 1:30. That's all the information from me at the moment.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you. Just to add to the list of cancellations, this sounds like the airport at the moment, doesn't it? Please, all elders present, please note, I was in communication and conference with our session clerk on the telephone this morning, and we have made the decision, under the circumstances, to postpone our next Kirk session meeting, which I think is due to take place this Thursday evening. So elders, please note that the session meeting on Thursday evening has been postponed until further notice. Thank you. It's now my duty, under instruction from the press, to read out the following edict. And it's not to do with the virus, in case you thought it was. The edict says, notice is hereby given that a meeting of the Congregation of Lark Hall St. Macken's for ecclesiastical purposes will be held on Sunday the 29th of March at the close of public worship. At this meeting, the congregation will be asked to vote on a basis of adjustment. Sometimes we call it union, a basis of adjustment which will provide for a union of the three Church of Scotland congregations in Lark Hall. Thus endeth the edict. Now, in connection with that, we have been given a document, a basis of union, saying what the presbytery are planning to do in Lark Hall with the three churches. And it is going to be distributed, and with elders note that copies of the basis of union, with a covering letter from myself explaining as best I can what the process is and what it's about, they will be available for yourselves in the ducats after the service, as far as I'm aware. I think that's the case. And the only thing I would say, we're going ahead on the assumption that we will be allowed to have a service in the church on the 29th of March. Nobody really knows at this stage, but we'll go ahead on the assumption. What I would ask and beseech you to do is please cut the hand-to-hand delivery down to a minimum. Please feel free just to post them through members' doors if you're able to do so over the next wee while between now and the 29th. That would be very much appreciated. But just to cut down on human face-to-face contact as much as possible, please feel free to deliver this document to as many people as possible. Thank you. And I think with these provisos and things, that's all our intimations for this morning. Good morning and welcome to St. Macken's Parish Church. The sun is still shining, and Jesus, the Son of God, is still shining his light on us to dispel all darkness and despair. On a number of occasions this past week, the words of the psalmist have come to my mind and heart. Psalm 121 that we know so well. I lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence doth come mine aid. My help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is here today to help us, to be our aid and our Saviour. So let us worship him. Let us praise his holy name as we lift our voices with our opening hymn, Come Let Us Sing of a Wonderful Love. Not me this time. Definitely not me, that's all right. We had some wanderers of our own today in church this morning, and I'm busy smiling and pointing and going, listen, you're all so busy concentrating the screen. Yeah, you didn't see me cracking a joke there, not to worry. Wonderful. The wanderers got home to their seats, that's the main thing. An extra intimation, we've had a very quick executive meeting with Anne Hine there, and she's decided to cancel the tea, the pancake morning on Friday. In view of the way things are going and other organisations are taking the lead and things like that, it seems the safe and sensible thing to do. So please know, please let folks know that you're aware of that it won't be on this coming Friday and until further notice, I assume is the best way to put it. Okay. Things are happening fast. Things are changing fast. But we have one thing that stays the same. Jesus and his love for us. For you and you and for me. Now, I thought today I'd just keep it very simple, so no running about and things like that, but I thought I'd tell you a story. But before I do, to set the scene, I thought I'd ask you some questions. If somebody gave you the choice between a Mars bar and a Twix, which one would you take? Hands up, everybody, for the Mars bar. Hands up, everybody, for the Twix. No, that's not allowed. It's an either. It's only or. It's not allowed both. So there was a few for one and some for the other. Who won it there? The Mars bar, I think, kind of got it. What do you think? Do you agree? Yep, I think the Mars bar got it. Yeah, the Mars bar's got it. If somebody gave you a choice between a brick or a biscuit, what would you take? What would you take? If somebody offered you, how many would take the brick? How many would take the biscuit? You really take the biscuit, don't you? I've been dying to say that. Hands down. Sometimes choices happen in life. And sometimes we struggle to know what we should do. Mars bar, Twix, Mars bar, Twix. I would be caught in the middle and I'd end up with neither because I wouldn't know which way to go. But brick and biscuit, the choice is easy. Now, I've got permission today to tell you a little story, a true story. It involves my wife's mum and dad, who I called mother-in-law and father-in-law. Father-in-law is still with us, but mother-in-law has gone on to a much better home, a far better place than this. She's with God in heaven. But a number of years ago, my father-in-law was driving home from work. A lot of people drive home from work, don't they, at times? He was driving home from work, and he came to the street in which they lived. And he was just turning into the street when suddenly he saw a man was walking out of the street. And he thought, that's a rather well-dressed gentleman. There's a lot of word we sometimes use as adults. He was quite dapper. Anybody use that word, or am I living somewhere in the 1800s? He was quite dapper, we would say. Very well dressed he looked to them when he glanced. And then he had a wee closer look as he was slowing down. He thought, my, isn't that man wearing a beautiful coat? A wonderful coat. Such high quality. Oh, and he thought, my father-in-law thought to himself, that's a very expensive coat that man's wearing. Then as he looked closer, as he slowed down to turn into his bit, the man was still in sight, he looked and thought, you know, he said, you know, I've got a coat just like that. A beautiful, very expensive tweed coat that I wear to church on a Sunday morning. It's his very, very, very best coat. And he thought nothing of it till he went into the house and he said hello to my mother-in-law, his wife. Then during the conversation over dinner, his wife, my mother-in-law, my wife's mum, just in case there's any mistakes here, said to him, we had a visitor today. Somebody who was down on their luck, somebody that was really struggling, somebody that didn't have 2 pennies in their pockets, somebody that was really very, very poor in real difficult circumstances. And they were wearing a coat, she said, that was full of holes. It was dirty and disgusting, she said, and full of holes and grimy. And she said, a bit smelly as well. He'd obviously seen a lot better days. What do you think happened? What do you think happened? It was the man my father-in-law had seen, wasn't it? And what coat do you think she gave to the man in need? Like everybody in the church knows it except for you four. She gave the man my father-in-law's best Sunday coat. Very expensive, beautiful tweed coat. She gave it to the man who was in need. She said afterwards she had a choice between an old jacket or coat that my father-in-law had in the cupboard or his best Sunday coat. And she was humming and hawing between the choice of what to give the man in need when she remembered that God always gives his best. God never holds back his best. Now, if it had been her best coat, I don't know what she'd have done. I never asked her that question. But she gave the man my father-in-law's best Sunday coat. And you know, he wasn't upset about it. He took the explanation because it's what Jesus does for us. He gives us the very, very best. And he never ever holds back. Well, I hope when you're going about the place and you see situations of need, when you find yourselves in that situation of wondering, well, what do? Do I give this or do I give that? Do I get involved in that way or involved in that way? Think that God gives the best to you, and maybe it might help you in that situation to decide what to give. We've had everything today, wanderers, and we've got flying dinosaurs. What more could you ask for in church on a Sunday morning? Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to sing a lovely little song with actions from my head to my knees. And I can't remember the rest of it. I'll put it on the screen to remind myself of the words. From my head to my knees, I didn't do very well at anatomy in school. From my knees to my nose, from my head to my toes, does God know all about me? And the song speaks about him giving us his best. And what's God's best? God's best is Jesus. So let's sing this through twice together. Stand and do the actions as best we can. I'm going to make the actions up as I go along. Do feel free to do exactly the same. Let's sing together.
If I'm happy or sad, if I'm good or I'm bad,
Well done. Please be seated. Thank you so much for joining us in here in church today. And I know that you'll go and enjoy Sunday Fun Club, and you'll remember that God has given his best to you, and that we can give our best to others who are in need. God bless you all. Enjoy Sunday Fun Club. The psalmist also tells us that God is our rock and our fortress. Perhaps we're going to feel very soon as if we're in a siege, that we're under attack across the planet. And in many ways, there are perhaps no better way to describe the very unprecedented circumstances our world faces at the moment. But God is the true rock and fortress for us, for the family of faith, for the followers of Jesus. So let us rest in that safe place and know that there nothing can harm us, and we have all the help and aid of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are your soldiers. We are soldiers of Christ, and we are called to arise and put our armor on. We thank that you've given us such a wondrous protection in this world today. A fortress of armor to protect us against the slings and arrows of the evil one. We thank and praise you that this armor can be kept polished and bright, each piece put on with prayer. Lord, may our armor of each and every single one of us today be in perfect condition. May our armor shine brightly to reflect the light and the glory of Jesus into the darkness around us. May our armor keep us safe. And with the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, the word of God, may we conquer all the doubts and fears in the midst of all the dangers and difficulties. May we help those around us to be strong. May we help those out there in the world to be strong, to know that you are King, you are Lord, you are Savior. And with you, there is victory, even over the unseen enemies that are all around us. Lord, we thank you for the armor, for you who have provided it, for the Lord Jesus Christ who has made it all possible, and for the Spirit who inspires us to wear it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us this day. We who are soldiers of Christ, we will win the victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless us now in this time of worship that we share together. May we find in this time together a strength and an encouragement, a lifting of our spirits, a strengthening of our souls, a reassurance of our salvation. The world may stand against us, but one man with God is a majority. One person on God's side holds the victory in their heart. Lord, reassure us of all these things, such blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, and give us a foretaste of that glory divine in all we share this day and in the days to come. May we see the triumph of the Savior and share with him in the victory spoils of life everlasting. All these things we ask, all these things we seek, all these things we declare with confidence and trust in and through the name of Jesus, our risen Savior, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now hear God's holy and trustworthy word, safe and secure, to surround us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, reading from verses 11 to 24. Jesus went on to say, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger one said to him, 'Father, give me my share of the property now.' So the man divided his property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son sold his part of the property and left home with the money. He went to a country far away where he wasted his money in reckless living. He spent everything he had. Then a severe famine spread over that country and he was left without a thing. So he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him out to his farm to take care of the pigs. He wished he could fill himself with the bean pods the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything to eat. At last, he came to his senses and said, 'All my father's hired workers have more than they can eat, and here am I about to starve. I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers.' So he got up and started back to his father. He was still a long way from home when his father saw him. His heart was filled with pity, and he ran, threw his arms around his son, and kissed him. 'Father,' the son said, 'I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son.' But the father called to his servants. 'Hurry,' he said, 'bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Then go and get the prize calf and kill it, and let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, and now he's been found.' And so feasting began." Amen.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you. Let's again lift our voices up in praise to God. We sing to the Father God, "I wonder how I managed to exist."
Loving care, now I am your son, I am.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We continue in our journey through Luke chapter 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and now a lost son. Now, if you were to ask the question, which is the best known parable told by Jesus, there might be quite a variety of answers. On the internet, there is a full range of lists and a whole load of different opinions. There are lists of the top 5, top 10, in some cases the top 12. There are lists of favourites on Christian websites. There are lists of most popular parables even on non-Christian websites. There are a couple of parables that seem to me, in looking into it, that make an appearance on virtually every single list. One is the Good Samaritan, and the other, more often than not, is the prodigal son. The prodigal son, or the lost son. So well known, so often referred to, so often quoted, so often preached upon, so hard to come up with something fresh and new to say about it. So today, I'm simply going to focus on one aspect of the story, on one part of the message that seemed to jump out at me when I was reading through the parable over and over again this last week. And I can sum this one aspect up in one word, and the word is expectation. A very positive word, or so it should be. Expectation. Now, a trainee probationer minister went for an interview for a job at an independent church. At the end of the interview, the interviewer asked the probationer, "And what starting salary are you expecting to get?" The trainee minister says, "Somewhere in the region of £125,000 a year with benefits." The interviewer says, "What would you say to 3 months paid holiday, a finishing retirement pension of 75% of your salary, and a new car every 2 years, starting with a Ferrari?" The trainee minister replied with great excitement and great expectation, "What would I say? I'd say, wow, are you kidding?" The interviewer says, "Yes, but you started it." Expectations in life can vary widely from situation to situation, from time to time, from person to person. You know, one thing I've discovered after almost 38 years of following the Christian path is that the word expectation is being used less and less and less in the church. Well, in most churches that I've come into contact with. The word expectation isn't used so often by Christians anymore. Yet the word expectation is used by the Bible on a number of occasions, particularly, I would say, in the King James Version. The word expectation in Hebrew appears about 34 times at least in the Old Testament. The Greek word for expectation appears 16 to 20 times, depending on who you ask, in the New Testament. And yet, even the King James, the English translation, the word expectation only appears 14 times. I checked my New International Version. The word expectation only appears 3 times. I then looked at the Good News Bible that we use here at St. Mackins, and guess what? The word expectation, totally against my expectations, doesn't appear anywhere. Isn't that odd? It seems that the Bible translators have become more and more reluctant to use the word expectation. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 62, verse 5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation comes from him." My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is only from Him. You know, perhaps the reason the word expectation is sadly missing from the Christian vocabulary these days is like the man who once said, I just finished reading the famous novel, the famous book, Great Expectations, and it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Perhaps the word expectation is so rarely heard in the church today because there is a general feeling of decline and decay, of closures and unions, of shrinkage and shortage. Perhaps the word expectation is rare upon the lips of Christians today because life isn't as good as we thought it was going to be. And dare I say, perhaps because the life of faith isn't as good as we thought it was going to be. If ever there was a parable to restore our expectations, it's the parable of the lost son. To restore, to refresh, to renew our expectations even today. Now for the lost son, life wasn't as good as he thought it was going to be. And as I read through the parable again and again this past week, I was struck again and again by the complete contrast in the parable. On the one hand, the lost son with such low expectations. On the other hand, the loving father with such high expectations. Now, the lost son's low expectations can be summed up as two things: swine food and serfdom. You don't hear that every day, do you? Swine food and serfdom. Luke 15:16, he wished he could fill himself with the bean pods the pigs ate. And verse 19, I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers. Swine food and serfdom. Now swine food, in the Good News translation we heard today, it was bean pods. NIV, pods, King James, husks. Some translations say corn cobs. Others say more accurately, carob pods. Carob pods. The Greek word that's used there is keration. Keration, which literally means little horn. Little horn. It's where the Latin name is derived for Keratonia silqua. Any agriculturists or garden folk among us, anyone know what a Keratonia silqua is? I gave you a clue early on. It's the carob tree. Do we get carob trees in this country? I have no idea. Possibly not. So that's probably all the blank looks from the gardening ones among us. Keratonia silqua, the carob tree. And it's sometimes known as the locust tree because the pods that appear in the branches look like the locust insects. And these pods are sometimes called John's bread. Sometimes called John's bread because the pods, some people say, look like locusts. And of course, John the Baptist was said to have eaten locust and wild honey. It's a very interesting interpretation of that particular passage. The carob pod is shaped like a little horn or a locust insect. And it is still used in some places to fatten up the pigs, the swine, today. And even shamefully as this is to admit in our world today, still used as food by some of the poorest of the poor. The Greek word keration also gives us a word used today in the area of anatomy and physiology. Now I'm going to give you a clue now as to what the word is and what it refers to. And you know what? If anyone gets the answer to this, if anyone here surprises me and gets the answer to this, you know what? You're going to be the first person I phone when I'm forming an unbeatable quiz team. Without a doubt. Now, here comes the clue. Are we ready for this? My apology if you can't quite see me. Here comes the clue. Bite. What do you think it is? What was I doing? I was biting my nails. Ever heard of the word keratin? Heard of the word keratin? It comes from the Greek keration. Keration. Keratin is the series of proteins that are the main constituent of horns, hence the name little horn, hooves, feathers, claws, hair, and nails. I once heard about two elderly ladies who were sitting chatting one day in the bus stop. And one said to her pal, said, "You know, I've managed to cure my husband's very bad habit of biting his nails. I've managed to cure it, and it was so easy." And her friend said, "How did you manage it?" She said, "I simply hid his false teeth." I have no idea if that's a true story, but it should be. But it should be. And according to the psychologists, onychophagia, the technical word for biting one's nails, is a prominent symptom of great anxiety and stress. I think we all know that, don't we? Somebody's biting their nails, we know that there's something not quite right. The heart is astill, the soul is burdened. Now, the lost son's low expectations had brought him to a situation of great anxiety and great stress. And I don't think it's too far away from me to say that the situation in the world today has brought about unprecedented anxiety and stress across the planet. The expectations of so many are so low. Life is very far from where it was hoped it would be. Life is severely curtailed and contained. Life is completely controlled by powers and situations outside of one's control. Life is, for many, simply serfdom at the mercy of an unmerciful master. Now, serfdom is where a serf is someone who isn't good enough to be a servant and is one step away from being a slave, and believe me, it's not that big a step either. The lost son can only raise his very low expectations as far as being a hired hand, some kind of serf. He will settle for a life so far short of what he hoped it would be. He will settle for a life that is curtailed, contained, and completely controlled by outside forces. Are you and I, settling for a life of faith so far short of what we hoped it would be? Are you and I, settling for a life of faith that is curtailed, contained, and completely controlled by the forces and powers of darkness in this dark and difficult world? Do you and I, have such low expectations that we are settling for swine food and serfdom? Why would we ever settle for this? Why would we settle for this when our loving Father has such high expectations for each and every single one of us, each and every one of His special children? On the internet, I found what is claimed to be a true story. A mother was sitting in church one day with her 4-year-old son sitting close beside her. The minister was preaching on the prodigal son. The minister said, "The father saw the wayward and lost son who had squandered everything on reckless living. The father saw the lost son in the distance. The father ran to the lost son. And what did he say?" the preacher proclaimed. And the little boy shouted out loud, "You're grounded! You're grounded!" Moral of the story: be very, very careful about asking rhetorical questions in your sermons when there are little children present. Message of the story: our loving Father never grounds, never punishes all His returning children. Luke 15:22. "Hurry," says the father. "Don't hang about. Hurry," he says. "Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet." Verse 23, "Let us celebrate with a feast." In the final verse, the feasting began. The lost son had such low expectations of swine food and serfdom. The loving father has such high expectations of sonship and celebration. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 says, "God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God predestined, early on a chapter said, before the creation of the world is introduced into that section. God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. And in Greek term, adoption to sonship is a single word, huiothesia, and in Roman culture they have adopted that term and that idea and that concept. There was a legal and fully binding term where an adopted male heir is given all the rights and privileges of a natural born son. It was a process full of legal procedure, but it also involved a great deal of celebration and joy. Now in the Christian faith, as amazing and incredible it is, we are wondrously and marvelously given by God all the rights and privileges of being his children. Of being part of his family, of being brothers and sisters in Christ, of being brothers and sisters with Christ. These are powerful words. Apostle Paul's favorite expression to describe the Christian state is a little phrase, en Christos, in Christ. And the preposition en for in, however, can also be equally translated as with. Not just in, but with. We are in Christ, but also with Christ. All the privileges, all the status. He is our master, he is our Lord, he is our King, he is our High Priest, he is our Savior, and he is our brother. He is our brother. Now, although I didn't pick it for us to sing today, this reminded me of the hymn written by Martin Nystrom in 1983. We've sung it often here in St. Machan's, "As the deer pants for the water." The closing verse says, "You're my friend and you're my brother. Even though you are a king, I love you more than any other, so much more than anything." Dear brothers and sisters in and with Christ, what are your expectations today? Are your expectations low, like many in the world we face such uncertain days? Shall swine food and serfdom be what we settle for? Or are your expectations high, like our loving Father, to whom we can always turn every time we are lost, knowing we are his children, knowing with all our hearts that he will welcome us with open arms and open heart, and bless us with the privileges of sonship and the greatest of celebrations? I could have chosen "As the Deer Pants for the Water" for our next hymn, but instead I decided to pick "The Prodigal Pathway." Now, in my days of reckless living, and yes, I did have days, in case you're wondering, of reckless living, many, many years ago, before I met my wife, his dad, and before I returned to my Heavenly Father, I used to sing the song, well-known song, "I've Been a Wild Rover." Do you know the song? "I've been a wild rover for many days, and I spent all my money on whiskey and beer, etc., etc. But now I'm returning with gold and great store, and I never shall play the wild rover no more." Almost say all together, and there's no. Hold it, hold off for a moment. Brings back memories of my reckless living. Used to sing it a lot of times at the local rugby club, where I carried out a lot of my reckless living in my earlier years. You know, in many ways that song seemed to me to sum up how lost I was at that time in my life. I was lost, but God found me. Once I was dead, but then I was alive. Glory, praise to God. Hallelujah. A number of years later, I decided to write new words to that particular tune, in a sense to emphasize the change that has happened. Now, it's far from being my best, but you know, it's probably my favorite among all the lyrics I've written through the years. And it's favorite because when I wrote it, it seemed at the time like God was encouraging me to fill it with my favorite things. That sounds like a cue for another song. To fill it with my favorite thing, which is rhyming. Did you know that? I like things to start with the same letters on a Sunday. I like things to end and finish with the same letter, and all sorts of things. I love rhyming. Now, it doesn't make for great literature or songwriting, but God wants to bless us with favourite things. For some, it might be the best of outfits, a robe, a ring, shoes to match on their feet. For me, it's writing things that rhyme. Now, there's no prizes for this, but see if you find yourself stuck in the house for a wee while in the days to come, and you're wanting something to do. See if you can count how many rhymes there are in this particular song. And I don't mean just the words at the end of the line. There's rhyming with words at the beginning of the line. There's rhyming in the middle of lines. There's rhyming with letters at the beginning of the words and letters at the end of the word. There's even a few odd places where there's rhyming with the middles of the words. I just went crazy. But it seemed under God's guidance and encouragement. So you see if you can count all the number of rhymings there is as we sing through this particular song, all about the prodigal. The prodigal pathway is busy and broad. Second half of that last verse, I really outdid myself, didn't I? Really. I must have had the pages of the thesaurus and all the rest of it really going all over the place when I was writing that one. We are in the practice over a couple of years now of reporting from different committees from time to time. And it is the task of the convener of those committees to share a little about the work of that committee so that we can all be aware of how we care here at St. Machan's. And the turn falls to the Vision and Mission Committee this morning. And to the convener of the Mission and Commission, the Vision and Mission Committee, in other words, moi. And this is the first time that we've actually managed to put a report together to share with the congregation. Under rather strange circumstances in the world, no doubt, but all the same, it's important to share these things. So just briefly, a few things to share with you. And my thanks to the members of our committee for their commitment and for their inspiration and the ideas and the things they've done over the last couple of years or so. Things like the wonderful 10-pin bowling that we had, and I missed it myself, but I heard it was a great event where people came along and enjoyed and got beside one another and shared not just spiritually but socially also. Well, one of the first things we decided in our committee was the need to not bite off more than we can chew. Very difficult when you're facing a large rebate. Vision and mission is a huge thing. Everything and anything could be vision and mission. So don't bite off more than we can chew. So we summarised our task down to three steps. The first one was bringing in. Now lots of people have ideas about how you bring folk in. And if it's bringing into the church, maybe free chocolate might do it. That wasn't one of our ideas, I have to admit. But it's not necessarily into church, we decided. It's bringing people into contact with the family and people of faith. It is the people and not the building that makes the church the church. So we've looked at ideas about how we bring people together rather than people into the building. The second idea in our three steps was not bringing in, but breaking down. This is a picture of the miracle chocolate bar. Believe me, if you get this up on the internet and watch it, you'll be there for days thinking, how does that work? How do you get a square every time and it still stays the same size? It's an optical illusion. Believe me, I tried it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We need to break down. Bringing people into contact with the family of faith, either within the church environment or in the community and beyond, and all in the hope of breaking down barriers in order to forge friendships and build bridges. And the first step we thought for our committee to look at and think about was bringing in, breaking down, and then building up. And yes, that is three chocolate fountains working away. White chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate. Everybody has their favourites. Everybody can be reached in a different way. Once we're bringing people in, once we're breaking down the barriers, then the opportunity might come to build people up in the faith. And we've focused addressing the situation of Christian faith. And in the past, we've run the Alpha course. And when the time is right, perhaps when all the dust has settled from voting in the church and when all the dust has settled what's happening in the world, then we fully plan to have another Alpha course and include the other churches. Whatever shape the church will be in Lark Hall quite soon, we will include the other churches, and we felt it was a wonderful way to get next to our brothers and sisters in and with Christ in order to share the building up of the Christian faith. So an Alpha course will take place. Now, how do we have these three steps, bringing in, breaking down, and building up? Well, we came up with a twofold approach. First of all, small bites. Small bites. And what we intend to do is do our best to set up some kind of social group or grouping of some kind which would coordinate and facilitate a number of different events of a nature and number to be decided by the group themselves. Things that people would do together. It might be visits to the cinema, visits to the theatre, restaurant night out. It might be going to the pantomime. It could be 101,000 different things. But doing them together with the support of the church and our committee to do so. Greater chance of folk coming into contact with folks of faith and being able to build that bridge for Christ to walk over. We're going to kickstart this by issuing a survey, yes, another survey, once things have settled down, asking folk to vote of a whole long list of their favourite kind of social thing they might like to do, and also add any others that we're unaware of. And the most popular idea when the survey comes back in will be the first kickstart event. And we'll distribute these surveys, as I say, after things have settled down considerably. So we're going to do it through small bites. They're quite easy to organise and get going and have these events going. But we'll also from time to time do some big bites. Some big bites. That's my favourite picture of that one for some reason. You did know, didn't you? I'm convener of a committee. If I do a report, it was going to be something to do with eating, didn't you? Especially chocolate and cake. Big Bites will consist of bigger events coordinated and supported by our committee, and three kind of events have already been suggested, and the timing, of course, will depend on the world events and the way things go. But they include things like a musical concert with a difference. I'm not going to say any more than that. Somewhat different to what we've done before in the church, and hopefully in something that people outside of the church might be more attracted towards. A church family day out, going out. Remember the old days in the Sunday school? Jumped in the buses or the train and went to the seaside? Why do we stop doing that? Why don't the family of faith spend some time going out for the day together and going somewhere and having some fun together and inviting family and friends to come and join us? And another idea was, of course, the ones who loved Strictly Come Dancing suggested we have another ceilidh because folks enjoyed it so much, and perhaps at some point in time we will not do these all at once. These are big bites we need to chew over a wee bit before we organise them. So that's where your committee's at. And today I just wanted to commend the work of the committee to you and to ask for you to pray for what we're planning and what we're doing. To pray, to support, to encourage, and yes, to participate when the time comes. God has given us a wonderful food. We taste and see that the Lord is good. Small bites and big bites, all to feed us and all to feed a world that is starving spiritually and needs to know the Saviour. Thank you for listening. The offering will now be uplifted.
The psalmist wrote, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the wonderful things you have done. I will sing with joy because of you. I will sing praise to you, my Almighty God. Let us pray. Lord God, this money which we place before you now are our recognition that you are the one we must thank for everything we rejoice in. From the wealth you have given us, please accept our gift. It speaks our love. Let it serve yours through Jesus Christ our Lord. So give us your grace, we pray, that others may see our good deeds and glorify you, our Father in heaven. Loving God, it is so hard to live with hope, because so often our hopes have been confused. We long for a world of peace, yet so many are killed and maimed in war. We hope for a world of justice, yet daily people starve to death and others are tortured for their belief. We want the nations to work together, and they go on stockpiling weapons. These are our big hopes, Lord, but when we turn to ourselves, it is the same. We hope for peace of mind, and the unexpected brings confusion. We long to be secure, and we are beset by fears. We strive for possessions, but they do not satisfy. Enlarge our hope, dear God, till it is centered on him who alone can fulfill it, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray for those who are without hope, who trust in their own strength, who live as if this world is all that matters, who are centered on themselves, that they cannot reach out to others in love. Christ our Saviour, come and dwell within us, that we may go forward with the light of your hope in our hearts. Father, forgive us the fears that work against your love, that prevents us from living in the joyful freedom of your Holy Spirit. We pray for the refugees of our world who are fleeing their country from terrorists, that they may find a place of safety and security. We pray for the bereaved, the anxious and fearful. Deliver us, O God, from all such evil, and let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth for the glory of your name. We bring to you in prayer people who are suffering in mind and body. We remember especially those who are facing long and incurable illness, those cast down by the cares and sorrows of daily life, hungry people foraging for food. We know that their poverty is a rebuke to us all, for they cannot make decisions about their future. We give thanks for the food bank here in Lark Hall, for those who give of their time to help, for those in need who don't have enough food for their daily need. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. Loving God, you show yourself to those who are vulnerable and make your home with the poor and the weak. Warm our hearts with the fire of your Spirit. Help all of us to accept the challenge of the coronavirus. Protect the healthy, calm the frightened, give courage to those in pain, comfort to the dying, and give to the dead eternal life. Console the bereaved, strengthen those who care for the sick. May we, your people, use all our energy and imagination and trusting in your steadfast love, be united with each other in conquering all disease and fear. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the family of the church. May they know your blessing and strength as they care for each other. We ask your blessing for all in St. Machan's, our minister Alistair, and each and every member of our congregation. Guide us that St. Machan's may be a visible witness to your love and your grace. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. I have received advice and guidance, strong advice and guidance, with regard to the greeting and the physical contact in the church. And I've been asked to just say, for the time being, we are doing our best to lead by example. And at the door of the church, I'm not going to be rude. The fact that I'm not shaking hands. And any of you who are dying for a cuddle and a kiss today, I'm afraid, after speaking about the passage about the Father kissing the Son, I'm afraid there's none of that on show at the door. We've been actively encouraged to lead by example by the National Church. Now, some people are into clicking elbows. I'm too old for that. I don't know about everybody else. Some people are following other particular faiths, as you've probably noticed in the news. We have ancient responses, one in particular in the Christian Church that I feel Mr. Reynolds, who was here last week, a former elder of the church, suggested it, and it struck a chord with me. There's an ancient Christian response of saying, peace be with you, and then somebody responding, and also with you. What could be better for Christians to say instead of the elbow touch, no handshakes, no hugs and kisses for the time being, but just to say to one another, peace be with you, and respond, and also with you. So there's going to be a lot of peace at the door of the church at the end of the service. And I hope there's going to be a lot of peace in your lives afterwards out in this world. Let's conclude our service by singing together, Father, hear the prayers we offer.
Thank you.
And now may the sonship and the celebration that God gives into our hearts and lives help us to go into the world now and honour and praise our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we go, may all his blessings be upon us and all whom we love this day and forevermore.